In the name of the one who is the shepherd and the gate and the way and the truth and the life, may we hear his voice this day. Amen.
Amen.
I am so delighted to be with you today. I find it hard to believe I've only been here one time before because I feel so welcome and so at home, and I really appreciate you welcoming my friend and sister priest, Mother Andrea Baker, who was kind enough to go and serve as the very first command chaplain for the Special Operations Command of Africa when we asked her to do that. And she's here with her chaplain assistant, Dave, who is the very first command chaplain assistant. And he comes from my home place, Chicago. So, of course, I'm very partial. Wait a minute, are you a Cubs fan or a Sox fan?
Both.
Obviously, he's been working with chaplains for a very long time because he is very politic. You know, you've got a good assistant there. Yeah, you do. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. This was the message that we read in the Acts of the Apostles about the early church, about how people responded to hearing the stories of the experience of Jesus Christ. Jesus, now you remember this dude, right? He was born out of wedlock in a feeding trough because there was no room at the inn. He was rebellious. Remember how he stayed back at the temple and worried his mother? Now, he did respond to correction, and when they told him that he had worried his parents and he shouldn't be doing that, he mouthed off a little bit. Remember that? I'm about my father's business. But then they said, oh, no, that's not going to fly. And what the scripture says about the rest of his upbringing was Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. So he responded to correction, and he did good. Then, if you remember this story, he really made everybody mad because he went back to the temple as an adult, and he pulled the Torah, he pulled the scroll down, and he read to them. Do you remember what it said? He talked about generosity and healing and ending poverty. He said, "Recovery, I've come to bring recovery of sight to the blind, to set captives free, to lift up the powerless, to raise up the poor, to fill the hungry and send those with plenty away empty." Well, people got mad. And you all may get mad today hearing about that. And I'm okay with that because I'm a supply priest. You can fire me and never have me back again. But the gospel is really unequivocal about who Jesus is and what he came to do and what he came to banish. And I don't know about you all, but I don't do what I'm supposed to do as a Christian. I don't. Right before this service, I was showing Frank pictures of my fancy new IKEA cabinets because I'm having my house remodeled. I could probably share that money and that time and that energy with others who have less than I do, like it says to do in the Acts of the Apostles. I could probably gather a community of Christians to live, a communal life. Many people do around the world, I don't know how many, but there are small Christian communities around the world where people pool their resources and make financial decisions together to make sure that their wealth is going to fulfill the gospel. Recovery of sight to the blind, setting captives free, healing the sick, raising up the poor, raising up the powerless. I don't do that. For me, it's usually more of a, gee, where do I draw the line? Do I take two vacations this year or just one so that I can help someone else? Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. I hear this message, and I have to say, I am convicted. So Jesus, when he pulled that scroll down and he read that and said, today this reading has been fulfilled in your hearing. Anybody remember what happened? They drove him out of town and they wanted to push him over into a pit and kill him. Because this is a message that is just hard. It's really hard for humans. And God the Father created us this way. So the fact that we are sinful, separated from God, from our own well-being and from others, afraid of things, afraid of the power of death, afraid of pain, afraid of poverty, afraid of hunger, it's normal, okay? I mean, it's normal and God-given. So they drive him out of town. They're going to throw him over the pit, and what did he do? Anybody remember? Oh, come on, you guys. It's me. Speak up. Yeah, he turned around and he walked through the midst of them and he went on about his father's business. And this time his mother and father didn't get mad at him and they didn't chastise him. How many of you have children? How many of you have grown children? Do any of your grown children pursue vocations that are scary to you? Anybody got kids in the military? Firefighters, police officers, missionaries, inner city school teachers, things that are scary. I mean, that's scary, right? Well, think about Jesus. Think about Mary and Joseph, right? Jesus was going out to do that, but they didn't yell at him that time. Because he was doing what he was born to do. Now, do you think he never got afraid?
He definitely got afraid.
Do you think he never wanted things to be different for him? Oh, yeah. Let this cup pass from me, right? Do you think he probably used the Psalms of David to help him? He set himself apart to pray. And when he read or sang or remembered this psalm, he heard this. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. You spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days, including the ones when people want to push you over into the pit and kill you, including when you don't get your new IKEA cabinets because you helped send some Afghan kid to school. I didn't do that. Including all those days. It's really hard for us to do this, which I think is why so many of us just don't. And yet, if we read the gospel today, we're told that the way that Jesus called us to live and the way that Jesus demonstrated is the way of Christian discipleship. Jesus said, I'm the shepherd. Listen to my voice. My voice. My voice. Anybody else, thieves and bandits, they'll steal from you. Well, we don't get that. So then he says, well, I'm the gate. This is where you enter. I'm the gate itself. Anybody else, thieves and bandits? The thief came only to steal and kill and destroy. But I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. Okay, and we heard about abundance in the reading from the Acts of the Apostles, where people came together, not just here. They came together in their houses and they pooled their resources and they ate and enjoyed it and they gave generously to others. And that is how we have abundant life. So is it a wonder that we seem to live in an age of anxiety? Because we just don't do what the gospel suggests that we should do to be free from all anxiety. Now, I doubt that any of us is going to leave from here today and sell all our possessions and pool them with a bunch of other people. If you do, God bless you, and please let me know about it, because I think it's a good thing. It says in our text that it's a good thing to do, and I would really like to know more about that. But I do hope that today, when we leave here, there will be something about these readings and our experience of coming to a foretaste of that table that God sets before us, so that we don't have to fear those who trouble us, so we don't have to fear our enemies, so we don't have to fear pain or suffering or death itself. I hope there will be something for each of us that will change. To live a little bit more abundantly, to live a little bit more fully. So, I'm wondering if you would be willing to try something with me before we carry on. It's easy, you don't have to move. And you don't have to talk to anybody this time if you don't want to. You can share your experience at breakfast. Some of you were here last time, know I kind of made you talk to each other. This is a little exercise where we really look at and experience just a little bit of what it could look like to apply faith in Jesus to fear. Willing to do it? Sit there, breathe, imagine things. Okay, all right. And I'm not going to tell you the whole thing. We're just going to do it one little step at a time. So the first thing I want you to do is take about 15 seconds. Do you have your timer over there? No timer?
I've got a second.
Well, you could count and then do a thingy. All right. We have our time. She's going to do some bells or something with each of our time hacks, okay? So for 15 seconds, I want you to bring to your mind and your body your deepest fear. I want you to experience it through and through for 15 seconds. Bring it into every cell. Go. Everybody okay? All right. Now I want you to just cognitively think in 25 words or less, given how you feel, given how you have responded or reacted before in your lives, what is the action you are likely to take or not take because of this fear? Aren't y'all got that in your heads? It's simple things, you know, like I'm afraid to fly because of all the stuff that's going on, so I'm never going to go visit my family. A friend of mine has that as a favorite one. Okay. All right. Now, we're going to do two things. Do y'all have your little inserts still? Okay. So get your insert in your hands, turn it to the psalm. And first we're going to breathe. So just sitting where you are, you're going to take three breaths. And as you take the first breath in, I want you to think, Jesus, and as you breathe out, be with me. Okay, everybody got it? So I'll say it here, and you can say it quietly or to yourself. So in, Jesus, out, be with me. Jesus, be with me. Jesus, be with me. And now we will read responsively verses 4 through 6. So at the asterisk, you'll respond. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil.
For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me.
You have anointed my head with oil, and now my cup is running over.
Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And now, feeling the way you do now, if you feel any differently, is there a different way than your first 25 words or less that you might respond or react or not react to that thing which you fear the most? Think about that for about 10 seconds. See if you can come up with a different plan. If you need one. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundantly. Amen.
Amen.